relationship that keeps you from having love valuable? Is any relationship that keeps you from experiencing love, is it valuable? Okay, how many relationships do you have that you think you don't experience love in? You don't have to answer that. Okay, so based on what we just said, in this form, are those relationships valuable? If it's a relationship that you're experiencing no peace in, no recognition in, no truth in, no safety in, no freedom in, no self-realization in, no acknowledgement in, not being reminded of who you are in, is that relationship valuable? The way we get to love is you go, no. Because the reason why you would continue to put yourself in such a relationship is because you believe it's valuable.
I think everything can be used, though, right? So it could be that you see it that way first, you know what I mean? It's the opportunity for healing.
That's exactly what I've been saying, exactly. Remember I said it's a two-fold process. First you see the illusion. He says it's through recognizing the false that you become aware of the true. The Course was saying, I talked about this Sunday, that it says that we should be seeking for what is false instead of seeking for what is true. That it's an error to seek for what's true. It's what's false that's delaying us. It's what's false that we don't recognize. So if we learn to recognize the false, we would naturally experience the true. If I recognized it was fear between you and I, when we're attacking each other, that's what would open the door to love. But if I think it's love, where am I going to go? Where is it to go? If I think me and you fighting all the time, we doing it because we love each other. Well, since I want love, why don't I just fight you more? Because the mind says, oh, it's love? Well, we want love, don't we? Yes. And that's why it seems like the fighting escalates between two people who think that they're in love who fight all the time. But if they called it fear, they would both go, you know, I don't choose to be in a relationship in which there is only fear. And they do something about it. So first you see the falsity, and then you move toward the truth. So the resistance comes up when you say, acknowledge the relationship that there's conflict that's not being valuable to your peace. Then everybody's resistance come up. Because that's 99% of the relationships that most people have. So you try to say, none of my relationships are valuable. No, what I'm saying is none of your relationships are valuable in the way that you're using them now. But the way that the bridge will use them, the bridge will use all your relationships as a bridge to God. But it calls for another perception of what me and my child are doing. So now me and my child are not attacking each other and fighting each other. My child and I are pleading for help. We're pleading for peace with each other. We're pleading for another way to look at things with each other. That's the new language. So it says, if special relationships of any kind would hinder God's completion, can special relationships of any kind have any value to you? What would interfere with God must interfere with you. What would interfere with love must interfere with you. Only in time does interference in God's completion seem possible. The bridge that God would carry you across, I love this, the bridge that love would carry you across, I like that. I love that idea of God. Picture that. The bridge that God would carry you across lifts you from time into eternity. That's so beautiful. He says, waken from time. And answer fearlessly the call of love, God, who gave eternity to you and your creation. On this side of the bridge, and that's true. He says what? On this side of the fear, on this side of the bridge, on the other side from pure love, he says, to timelessness, he says, you understand nothing. And notice that that's the phrase that we hear the most. You know, we're on the side that we think we're separate. We're on the side that we think there's fear, right? But notice, what is it that everybody always say? I don't understand. I don't understand what's going on. I don't understand my relationship. I don't understand where I came from. I don't understand what's real. I don't understand why the world is the way it is today. Notice he says on this side of the bridge, you're right. It's natural to understand nothing in fear. It says that's natural. And then it says, but as you what? Step lightly across the bridge, upheld by timelessness, you are directed straight to the heart of God. And at the center of the heart of God, which means what? At the center of the heart of love, and only there, where? At the center of the heart of love, you are saved forever because you are complete forever. So I'm never going to be safe until I am at the center of love. There is no veil. There is no fear. There is no lack. There is no illusion. The love of God in us together, right, cannot lift. The way to truth is open. Follow it with me. End of section.
Bridge.
You got the elevator. Cool. Wouldn't that cool?
Yeah, it's a bridge and it's an elevator all at the same time.
And not only is the Creator willing to be the bridge, the Creator is willing to carry you across the bridge. And think of it again, it's love. It's only at the center of love that I'll be safe forever. And y'all did very good in hearing your language course today. Well, you did very good. Now remember, you never understand all of the foreign language when you first start learning it. Don't try to understand everything I said. If you only walk away with one new language term or sentence, you are way ahead of the game. Do you have your thought? Do you have your thought? Because each one of you have the thought that you want to take away today. And if you don't have one, say so and we'll give you one. Is there anyone that does not have a thought that they want to use today? Everybody got one? Okay. Let's do the love offering. I appreciate you sharing. In what way? Tell me, elaborate on that.
Well, we've been trained to believe that, you know, like you said, the elevator, that we had to go up to get to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
For me, this bridge means that it's sideways.
Yeah, exactly.
It changes the whole dynamic of heaven and hell, where you are.
Thank you.
You're going sideways.
Okay, so you got your thought. That's one major thought that you got to take it. That it's not anywhere. Heaven is where?
Everywhere.
It's straight. Is it in love or is it in fear? Is heaven in love or is it in fear? Right. Right. And can love be something that you can experience anywhere?
Right.
Okay. So that answers where heaven is located. It's located beyond fear. And you know what's the good news? If you be honest with yourself, you realize that in your personal life, as far as relationships, if you feel in fear, there's not a lot of people making you afraid. There really is not a lot of people making you afraid. That's good news. The vast majority of people you have no problem with. And now you know how to see the one person you may be having a challenge with. That person is a
call for love.
And if you get tired of saying call for love, say call for help, call for God, call for peace. You know, use a variety of terms because the ego gets kind of bored with using the same thing, even though there's nothing more powerful than using the same thought over and over and over again. because your mind will get to the point that it will automatically apply that idea without you having to consciously do it. And when you get to the point that your mind corrects your errors without you having to consciously do it, that's how you know you're on the verge of enlightenment. When you no longer have to stop and go, "He just said something really ugly to me," that's a call for love. See, that's what you do at first. "I'm really upset right now. That's my call for love." See, at first you're gonna feel your feeling, right? And then you're gonna identify that feeling as a call for help. You're gonna do that to the point that one day there won't be any in-between. You just go, "Oh, I'm feeling a call for God right now." You won't even do the thing that "Should I call it a call for God?" And when you get to that point, you know that your mind is focused on God and love. And so therefore, you know you're going to perceive it. You're going to experience it. So see your lack as a call for abundance, your sickness as a call for health, your depression as a call for peace, your loneliness as a call for union. And then anything that you feel that seems negative becomes a prayer and a request for its opposite, and it'll come to you. Your perception will be healed. That's the truth. And it's simple. That's why I know it comes from God. If it's complicated, it comes from fear. If it's simple, it comes from love. If it's complicated, it comes from fear. If it's simple, it comes from love. Tomorrow, there's certain sections in this book that are what I consider to be the most profoundly challenging and powerful parts of the course. And if a person can get through these sections, the rest of it is cake. That's what we've been going through. Chapter 15, chapter 16, chapter 17. You can do 15, 16, and 17. Your consciousness is transformed to some extent afterwards. Mm-hmm. If you can hang through 15, 16, and 17, you've done a major blow to your desire to suffer. You dealt it a deadly, deadly blow. You know, so I want to acknowledge you for hearing these sections with me, and then being here with me with them. I mean, that's, you have no idea how powerful and pleasing that is, and healing that is. So tomorrow night we'll do Choice for Completion. We're gonna keep going through this. So if you can't make it,
come on, I have to learn how to speak their language.
There you go.
And it was very interesting today because I have to open my mind up for a new language and a new alphabet. They use the Cyrillic alphabet, and I'll be doing business development. It's a new democracy, a small country with